the buzzer may court on its way. Oh my goodness! Oh!
They have to get it with no timeouts. They do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Courtside with Seth Greenberg, Dan Dockage, and I'm Chris Cotter sitting in with these two guys. I don't know if I'm going to get a word in edgewise between
probably
now
not.
And the end of this. Probably not. And they probably wouldn't want me to, but I'm here anyways to tell you what's coming up on the podcast. Kermit Davis, Ole Miss head coach, is going to join us here in a little bit. Team got a great win at home against Auburn last night. Seth, you were there on the call. Crowd was into it, which is really nice to see at an SEC school. You know, maybe this is something that can be the start of a building something there at Ole Miss. We'll find out. We're going to make picks later on, including Florida State and Duke on Saturday. Zion continues to impress. We're going to talk a little bit more about him. And the Wooden Award midseason 25-man watch list is out. Zion and a number of freshmen on there, as you would expect. There are a couple others in there that, you know, I think, Doc, this is sort of the time when we put football behind us. Your students are back on campus. The holidays are behind us. Now we can really focus on college basketball. And that 25-man list is sort of a nice way to tell everybody, hey, here are the top players in the country. Maybe you've seen them. Maybe you haven't seen them. But let's introduce you to some of them.
Yeah, and it's crap, in my opinion. I'll tell you this right now. I'm in a bad mood to begin
with. I know you are.
I don't understand. Grumpy Dan Dockage is nothing better than a grumpy D square.
Hey, where's Juwan Morgan? And look,
it's only 25 long. You can't put 40 people on it.
May I finish? Okay. Are you going to come in here and not let me finish?
Let me finish.
I look and I see Jordan Murphy on it. Hey, how about you win a game, Jordan Murphy?
He's a double machine. Can he do it by himself?
So what? Win a game. As every college coach that I've talked to and said, James Palmer, hey, James, how about winning a game? How about win a game, fellas? Juwan Morgan, if you're going to put Langford on there, then you should put Juwan Morgan ahead of Langford, because Juwan Morgan has been better than Langford on both ends of the court all year long. He's come up big in big spots, and the guys coming in there from the Big Ten, none of them, other than Carson Edwards, Iggy maybe deserved to be on this list
more than Juwan Morgan.
Cassius Winston, absolutely. Cassius Winston is a first-team All-American, and he's my preseason player of the year, and I wouldn't change that for anything. But I'm just telling you, win a freaking game. These guys in the Big Ten are supposed to be so good, and then I look, and they don't ever win a game.
The winner doesn't have to come from this list. Remember,
who
was it? Oladipo, a couple of years ago, wasn't even on, I think, until the final eight, right, Coach, before he was finally put on that list. So the winner can come from outside of this list. It's just a discussion point that we're having right now. Trey Jones isn't on the list. Can you put three players from one team on the list? Because Trey Jones is one of the top 25 players in the country the way he's playing. Would you agree?
He's one of the top 25 most important players in the country. I mean, like, there's a distinction. I mean, like, I love Trey Jones. I love Xavier Simpson. I love Jordan Bone. I love those guys. They're really important to their teams. All right? So what does the Wooden Award signify besides having to have a certain GPA and all that other stuff that they...
But you're good on in the classroom, off the court.
Yeah, all that stuff, and that sounds really
good. And you got to have Sam Gilbert around and his grandkids.
So, that sounds good, and, you know, and I'm a big Trey Jones fan. I think he's important for the team, but, I mean... No, I don't think he should be on that list.
Seth, here's what I would say, and this is why I told you specifically who, when you add somebody, if you say Trey Jones is supposed to be on, then you got to take somebody off, right? I mean, that's kind of how it works. And that's why I said what I said about Juwan Morgan, that I would put him on and take people off. I'm not sure I wouldn't put Trey Jones on there. I'm not sure that I would. I don't know. But I know this, those two guys that are on that list for Duke, if they weren't on Duke, I'm not sure Trey Jones would be carrying Duke like those two guys are kind of carrying Duke. I made no sense right there, and I apologize.
No, but that's where I agree with you. See, I think Trey Jones is a connector. I think he makes the game. Look, he's a great defender. I mean, that dude can flat guard.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Jordan Bone can flat guard. Xavier Simpson, we talk about you know, Michigan all the time. I mean, look, he's not as dynamic. Like, Jordan Poole right now, every time he shoots, you think it's going in.
Right.
I mean, that dude is, like, ridiculously good. You know, Matthews can guard, and you know, this guy, but they wouldn't be as good if you took Xavier Simpson off.
But I'll say this. I do think this, and I think Iggy has played well enough that he does deserve to be on that list, the kid from Michigan. And he's played well in big games. I mean, this kid as a freshman drops 24. You can only play, like, let's be honest, all right? The difference between Big Ten, Big Five, and the bottom rung of NCAA basketball, which is who a lot of Big Ten and SEC teams do play, you can't really put those games in pocket for a guy at Michigan when he's playing against Savannah State. I'm sorry, that's disrespectful to Savannah State, so be it. You got to look at the games that are big, and the big games, I think Iggy has played really well, so I would keep him in there over Xavier Simpson, but to your point, nobody in maybe any team defensively has been as important to their team as Xavier Simpson has.
I agree.
But I don't think he can be on that type of list.
I totally agree. Like, here, I'm looking at this list right now. Here's guys I would take off. And just, are you talking about this year? Not last year. This year, right now, in this moment.
25-man list.
Luke May, out. Hasn't played well enough. All right, just hasn't played well enough. He's not shooting a high percentage. You know, he hasn't had the impact that he's had. Starting to play better now, but he's on there because of what he did. Now, this one's going to be a little controversial. You might agree with me. You might disagree with me. Carson Edwards, out.
I'm with you.
All right, Carson Edwards, he's a volume. Look, they need him, and they need the way he plays, that's great. Your thing about winning games, I think, is important. I mean, they just took him out the other night, Michigan State. I mean,
Matt McQuaid was phenomenal.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Can anybody else do that in the Big Ten? That's my question.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is he the guy who's going to put that team on his back? He's going to have to and carry them through the Big Ten schedule, but did Michigan State put out the blueprint, not just the blueprint, but do other teams have the personnel then to follow Michigan State's blueprint and shut him down? Because he is averaging almost 25 a game coming in.
The blueprint doesn't change.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether or not you've got a guy or guys that can follow it for 40 minutes. And Matt McQuaid, he didn't get touched on screen, Seth and Chris. He fought through every screen. And then, and this was set up before the game, Aaron Henry, who's a freshman, did the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, and
great.
Chris, they can. Every team. One of the things, when I took the West Virginia job for five minutes. Yes. And I was on a plane.
You were really good that day, though.
I was great, Seth, if you only knew. Hey, I rented a big old Cadillac. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a nice hotel. I was first team. But I was talking to some guys, and you may disagree with this, Seth, I don't know, and this goes back, but it was interesting. I was talking to some Big East assistants who said, look, you're going to find out that the Big Ten is the best scouted league in college basketball. Now, if you're going to come into, you know, it was at the time the Big East, we're just going to play zone and not guard all that crap. But in the Big Ten, and other teams are better, I'm not saying, but the Big Ten does scout. So everybody's going to know, and they already know how to take, but can you do it for 40 minutes? Are you long enough? Are you athletic enough? I'm going to retract what I said, Seth. I'm going to keep Carson Edwards in there to this point, but he sure got taken out, and I feel a little bit bad for the kid because I don't think he knows whether he's supposed to shoot every shot or make others better and got exposed the other night.
Yeah, the problem is he can make others better, but no one can make him better. So everything he gets, he's got to get on his own. And I think that there's so much pressure, the ball's in his hands so much. And I thought McQuaid and Henry did a great job getting through screens, and I thought that, you know, the game plan, which, and I agree with you on the Big Ten, they do. I mean, I have Michigan State scouting reports before every game. It's a joke, but the guys off the ball, the guys guarding the screeners, and the guys behind the guys guarding the screeners in that game, I thought those dudes were, like, locked in.
Can I ask both of you a simple question?
It's probably over my head.
Yeah, does it matter? It might not be simple to answer, but go ahead.
Does it matter who's on the wooden watch? Unless something happens, Ian Williamson is going to be the player of the year in college basketball.
It matters because it gives us something to talk about.
I get that, Chris. Yeah. I get all that.
It's locked, stock. Like, here's my thing. And I love the way Zion played the other day. I mean, because he did other things. I mean, it wasn't just, look, I saw Julius Erving play every single game when he played the Nets. Torture Bobby Jones. I mean, I've seen every, like, what dunk haven't you seen?
Right.
I mean,
right.
I understand he's 6'6", and he's powerful, and he jumps, and he put backs, and he can throw. I had a guy who played for me at Long Beach State that would 360 on fast breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, okay, I've seen that. That's all right. The other day, he rebounded balls out of his area. He's a pretty good off-ball defender, and he's a very good passer.
Yeah.
Is there other than maybe, you know, he had a couple three threes the other
set
night.
Set shots.
Yeah, is there anything he doesn't do well, though?
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this. No, I don't think there's anything at the college level. Yeah, yeah. He got there, what he can't do. He can't drive it to a spot, elevate, shoot a pull-up jumper. Can't do it. Have you ever seen him do it?
Yeah, I saw him do it. I did see him do it in the Champions Classic, but I haven't seen him do it since.
Yeah, he'll drive it and spin and lean in and play the contact.
Right.
He'll shoot that little set three. He'll dunk on someone. He'll post up hard.
If you were gonna put it right now, if you were gonna say right now, would you both agree Zion's number one?
Yeah, because he's taking over the imagination. Right.
And you also got to put butts in the seats. It's always at the next level up, putting butts in the seats.
Yes,
and that's
okay.
Who's number two?
Hmm?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
No. That's why I'm here.
It really is
a good question. Like, is R.J. Barrett number two?
No.
Well, maybe that's why Zion is number one so clearly, because
Marcus Howard could be.
Regardless of your needs, you're going to take Zion number one overall.
Let me tell you, Shamari Ponds and Marcus Howard have to be in the conversation.
I'm not putting Shamari Ponds, but I am putting Marcus Howard.
I mean, Marcus Howard, I mean, he said 53 the other night.
Yeah, 53 last night.
I mean, that dude, and I'll tell you the interesting thing about Marquette, and you've probably seen him more, Dan, than I have. Like, he gets 53, and yet Sam Hauser makes that shot to go in overtime. Like, he gets 53, and as opposed to Trae Young last year,
yep.
All right, his teammates celebrate with him, and he does other things, and like, he can score 20 in a row, but those guys are still in it with him.
Yeah.
Where I watched Oklahoma last year, and you know, to me, Trae Young was doing his thing, and the more he did his thing, the less those other guys wanted any part of it. Am I wrong on that?
No. That really slipped, because I had him early in the PK Classic, and I didn't think that was an issue. I thought he was a little bit one of the reasons I said he was Steph Curry was because I thought he played with a joy, and his teammates joined in on the joy, and I didn't see that at the end. Let me ask you a question about Tennessee.
Ooh.
You got Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams. I mean, I don't know that – you know, what do they say in voting? They cancel each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But I'll tell you what, if you look, and tonight obviously is a big one with Kentucky, right? I mean, if you look at Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams, you can make a case. But I don't think you can make, or maybe you can. I don't want to put words. Can you make the same case for one of those two that you can make for Zion Williamson?
Grant Williamson had four points, one rebound the other night. Zion Williamson will never have four points and one rebound.
That's a good point.
But he had 4 points and one rebound, and they won by 20 on the road at Missouri.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, look, Grant Williams is good. I think if I had to pick right now,
who's number two?
Tennessee, Virginia, and Duke are the three best teams in the country. And Michigan, and then Duke.
I got to put Michigan State in there.
Michigan State in there ahead of, like, in the same class as a Duke and a Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan's playing great. And even John and I, Beeline and I, were talking about it before I did their game. In fact, I thought Indiana was kind of catching them at a pretty good time. But then all of a sudden, you know, they jumped out. But I think Michigan State, when I watch Michigan State, I think, man, this point guard, he's got air. I'm not saying they're as talented as last year. Clearly they're not, right? I mean, you had two top, whatever, 5-10 picks. But, man, are they connected, guys? I mean,
fishing.
Oh, man, every pass means something. Even without Langford, man, they guard. And there's a joy about this particular team, and I swear to God, it's because Winston and Ward have, I don't know, kind of brought it out. I'm being too philosophical here, but they got talent,
When I think of you, I think of Aristotle.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just saying, I think they're right with it. Would you agree with this?
I think the only thing that concerns me about Michigan State, they execute, they defend. Cassius is playing. Cassius Winston. Oh. We talked about who should be in the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cassius Winston, sure. His numbers are crazy.
Is he number two?
He might be number two.
He's averaging 18.
He's averaging more than that, I think.
17-7.
Yeah, and he's averaging like 7 assists. And he's shooting like 47% from the three.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
And he's actually guards every once in a while.
Don't get excited. I mean, what are you asking me to do? Everything? Come on.
Is there anybody random on this list, like a Ja Morant or somebody like that?
He's ridiculous. That dude is ridiculous. Now he plays, I mean, like.
It's like Isaiah Cannon, part two.
Ja Morant, the other day, he's better than him because he's bigger and longer. Ja Morant, the other day, they scored 73 points. He had a hand in 65 of them.
His numbers are stupid.
Now, he had some hands in the other team's points, too, because he averages 5 turnovers a game. But I mean, like, that dude is, like, I talk to NBA guys, they say he's a lottery pick.
Really? And he looks like he plays like he's on the schoolyard. I mean, he's behind the back, he's the finger rolls, he's all over the place. Fun
so
to watch.
Do you watch the NBA on ESPN on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
See, but you know what?
Looking for.
You know what, though? That's a little bit like if, I mean, I'll put it on us, if we give them more publicity, people fall in love with that. And I'm not saying That's the only reason they fall in love with Zion Williamson. But that adds, as you said earlier, Chris, that kind of adds to it. You know, being flashy or being whatever you want.
Imagine Zion Williamson getting picked by the Knicks or a team like that. I mean, a team that is in desperate need of a star to put on billboards to say, come watch Zion do his thing in this arena to sell tickets.
Who's the last college guy?
Be like Grandmama.
That came out with real personality. Like Anthony Davis had real winning and all that kind of stuff. Who's the last college guy that had...
I say the kid's magic-esque in terms of his smile and his joy. And that's what I've been saying. I've been saying that from the beginning. Like, that kid plays with a smile on his face. He plays hard as could be. I just think...
Who's the last college guy to be like that?
Buddy Hield had played with a lot of joy.
I know, but I feel like when Buddy Hield went to the next level, he kind of disappeared off the radar. You know what I'm saying?
Where is he playing, Chris?
In Sacramento.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that, honestly.
I wouldn't have either. I'm with you. That's why I figured Cotter knows and you don't, Seth.
Exactly. I mean, you look to everyone.
But I would say if you're looking for the number two guy and you go down this list.
Cassius.
Pretty close.
Could.
How about Barrett?
I'm not. Although Barrett's improved passing the ball a little bit.
Mad he shoots too much.
I like Barrett. I like Barrett. I'm not a big Reddish fan. I mean, Barrett made one of his last 15 threes. I mean, you know, Reddish made five of his last 31.
What about Hachimura? You were all over Hachimura.
I like Hachimura. He's kind of, you know, he's off the beaten path now for the next 2 months. I mean, where we come back and see us in March.
It depends. For those of us calling, you know, in wrapping these late night games, you won't be off the beaten path for me. I'll be in studio with him tonight. Yeah, tonight at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that thing will be on tape. You'll be previewing Rui Hachimura. You'll be sleeping by the time that happens.
I got college basketball live afterward.
Oh, that's a must. I'm
here in the studio. Must watch.
I'll definitely listen to you
three. San Francisco will probably make it a close game because that's a pretty good team.
They are good.
In terms of what's left on Gonzaga's schedule.
The little point guard.
Yeah,
good.
San Francisco is one of the tougher teams.
But what I'm saying about this whole thing is we really can't come up with a number two.
Yeah.
Right? Number one is...
Which is part of the reason why he will certainly be number one.
Yeah.
Because there isn't somebody else pushing him for that number one spot.
I don't think there will be.
Hey, how much of what... You know, he even came out and said, I want to show the world I'm more than just a dunker.
But
how much of the fact that he's such a dunking machine comes from the fact that all the way up until now in his career, that's all he's had to do. Now, all of a sudden, for the first time in his life, he's going to have to show a little bit more of that game. Who better to coach him to show more of that game than Coach K, at least for this year going into the next level, you know? Like,
Chris, I asked before the year, and Seth set me straight because he had seen him, but I had not seen him. And every time I watched him on a Twitter video or a YouTube, he was dunking against players that looked like my daughter.
Like me out there.
No chance. You were way too big and you're too built. I'm talking about my daughter.
I'm leaving that one alone.
And everybody wants to, like, guys in high school were getting dunked on and being happy about it.
Right, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't playing in New York City where a guy's going to. But Seth set me straight on that, and I saw him for myself. I think it's nice that he says it, but I don't think he has to say it because I think people that know basketball know, as Seth was just going to say, that dude's a lot more than that.
We said it in the Raps on Monday, on a Tuesday. I said, like, the thing to me that was most impressive, finally someone, and Mike Wilbon said it the other day in on their show.
Yeah, PTI.
And PTI. And he said, like, look, we've seen all the dunks. That's great. All right. Let's evaluate him as best because, like, here's my thing. You say the Knicks first pick and all that jazz, and that sounds great. Like, how much does his game translate to the NBA?
And what about his position? You know what I'm saying?
I think his game totally translates.
Well, because of the open court and the space?
Yeah, and the size and the...
Like, he's Draymond with more bounce?
I'll tell you this.
I don't think he can shoot it off the bounce, elevate, and shoot the ball. That's my one thing.
Okay.
And you got to be able to make shots in the NBA to be great.
All right, let me ask you a question. We're going to take the European guys out because that's for Fran. Okay? But, like, who would you take if you had the number one pick and all things considered, but the mostly considered is how he's going to help your basketball court or basketball team on the court, would you take the shoe deals or anything.
Right.
Just on the court. Who would you take ahead of Zion Williams?
I don't think I'd take anyone because I think this is a bad draft.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You go through this 20 this wooden list 25. I mean, nothing here says, oh, that guy's going to, you know. I mean, Dedrick Lawson, you know, he was terrific yesterday. He's a good college player. Does his game translate to the NBA? No. Ethan Happ's a great college player. He can't make a free throw. His game doesn't translate. Kelvin Johnson, I like him. I think he's going to be a solid pro. You go right down this list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Brazegas is going to have a chance to be a good pro.
Okay.
Romeo Langford, I think I like the way he plays because he plays without the ball and he's physical and, you know, he's got to shoot it better. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, he's going to be the guy, and I would take him before. See, to me, R.J. Barrett is DeMar DeRozan without the athleticism.
Ooh.
How's that one for you?
Anytime you throw at the end, it's serious about this, without the athleticism in the modern-day NBA, that is a terrible thing. I think, in modern-day NBA, unless he's just a straight-out, I'm going to make every three like, you know, like a 7-foot, you know, Serbian. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because let's be honest, the game, unless you're Steph Curry or unless you're just a straight knock it out every time I touch it shooter, you better have some athleticism to fit as a role player.
So, in other words, it's Zion number one, and whoever's got number two is looking to trade down. Because whoever's the number two pick is really kind of like a typical end of the lottery kind of a pick.
Unless there's a Doncic.
Yeah, there's some guys overseas.
Yeah, some European guys, for sure.
There's some guys overseas. And like, I think some of these guys have a chance to be, you know, to be good
there's
pros.
Just a gap.
It's going to be more need. You know, it's going to be more on need.
Correct.
I mean,
I think he's going to come into the league and be a star from the day one. I really do, Zion.
He's a marketing gem.
But I mean, I'm talking about on the court.
Okay, but on the court, he adds the addition to your point, the Magic-esque.
I love the kid's got, I was in Europe with the kid. He had his little brother with us on this trip. He was really genuinely. I mean, he held his brother's hand, carried him around the whole time. I mean, he was really an impressive young guy.
All right, we got to take a quick break here on Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. When we come back, we're going to speak to Kermit Davis, Ole Miss head coach. As I mentioned at the top, got a huge win against Auburn at home. We're going to talk about that and about Ole Miss Rebels continuing their SEC schedule, and it does not get any easier as they go to Mississippi State. We're going to make some picks, too, that game and some several others this weekend, so don't go anywhere. Ole Miss head coach Kermit Davis joins us right now. And, Kermit, the first thing I got to say is, what a great crowd you guys had last night in that win against Auburn. Now, I know Coach was there and he saw it, but even on television, it certainly came through. The students were there. That's got to be what you're shooting for night in and night out, isn't it?
It is, Chris. You know, it was especially kind of this early in our first year here, and you know, our students aren't even back in school, and to have that kind of student turnout and the place have that atmosphere, and when Auburn made their runs in the second half, I mean, obviously they were a huge part of our win last night.
Kermit, what a great atmosphere, great win. I called it a program win, a top 20 win your first year. You want to kind of have that one game that people can kind of put their arms around and kind of validate your vision. Here's the deal, though. That was great last night. You got Mississippi State on Saturday. I mean, how do you get your dudes like from, hey, this is what we've been working for. Oh, by the way, that was a great win. We're getting in a bus and we're driving an hour and a half up the road and we're playing against a team that just lost and wants a little piece of us because now we've become a bigger game. How are you dealing with that today moving forward to Saturday?
You know, we did, Seth. We're still not in school yet. So we got our guys up and it's 7:30. So I'm just trying to get Auburn game out of our system, but we really need to watch it. And I'm kind of an old school coach. We watch every second of every game. I just do it. And so we watched about an hour this morning till about 8:30, and then we're coming back here in about 45 minutes. We're not going to do any contact today. We'll do a little bit tomorrow. But you know, it's obviously a huge rivalry game. I've got five guys who've been involved in it. I've got about eight that haven't, you know, so they have a lot of significance. And, so we just got to move on, and we won't do a lot of contact and a lot of, you know, things. It'll be mainly just mental stuff before Saturday with a new tip-off.
Hey, boss, you came into the SEC, and you were vocal, man, about how good the SEC is, and you've lived right up, you know, elevating Mississippi. How easy, how difficult has the transition been to come over to Oxford?
You know, Dan, easy for me because I'm from Mississippi, and so it was a great move for me, and I love Middle Tennessee and never really had any plans to ever leave there and just got this wonderful opportunity. And so it was great for me and my family, and it was easy for me because I can connect the dots real simple because I'm just aware of everything in Mississippi, and in another state it wouldn't be so easy. Andy Kennedy's a great friend of mine. He left us three really good SEC guards, and those guys have really matured and made some progress, and we've added a couple pieces in the spring, two freshmen that are really have a chance to maybe be all-SEC players in time here. And they have, you know what we did, Dan, it helped us so much. We went to Canada, and we were on a foreign trip, got lucky in my first year to be able to do that, and, God, we were awful. We were terrible up there. We won some games, we played awful brand of basketball, but learned a lot about ourselves and have made a ton of improvement, you know, from that August trip until now.
Do you ever ask yourself why? Like, what the hell am I doing here? I had a pretty good thing at Middle Tennessee. I'm up here somewhere in Canada.
You got to see his big old Ponderosa. You will understand why.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, all right. Never mind.
He went from curtains to window treatments.
Okay, all right. Never mind.
I tried, this is a true story. We're playing. We had won a couple games, and then we played Escaped me now. They're a really good team up there. Just beats us all. We go up there. I can't even. Carlton beat us by about 17 or 18. And we go play the Ottawa BGs. Now, Ottawa BGs, the last part of our trip, we're down 44 to 17 in the second quarter, 44 points. And I looked at my assistant. I said, Ross Bjorka, you may fire us at that time. I did the wrong deal here. So we ended up coming back and winning, you know, at that game. But it really has. It's been a really a lot of improvement, and I'm so happy for our players because they really kind of bought in and become a really good practice team.
You talk about your two freshmen. Those guys are good, the two that played, Buffin and Henson. I'm telling you, those guys are going to be really good players. You got them late in the recruiting process when you got the job, which is absolutely incredible. Those dudes can really play. Now, tell me, like, just for you, though, in a big picture, like, you played at State, man. I mean, like, walking in there.
Well, I'd use that term lightly, Seth.
I mean, your dad was coaching there. I mean, look, you're Mississippi made. We joke about it, but I mean, when you walk around, the people of Ole Miss, they've welcomed you. I mean, they are excited that you're there and what you're doing. But you know, that's going to be a little different, right?
It will. You know, I mean, the arena we play in, my dad was the head coach when it was built, and he was a big part of behind with the legislature getting the money. And I think back then, Humphrey Coliseum in the early 70s maybe cost $7 or $8 million, you know. And so I think my brother and I probably the first to ever make a bucket there way back when we were young. And, you know, I haven't been there in a long time. Probably the last time I ever was in a game, I was an assistant at LSU. So that's years ago. But, yeah, I mean, that's where I grew up, and I went to Starkville High School, and my dad was a coach there. And, you know, so there's a lot of fond memories. And I just think this, though. I think the people at Ole Miss know exactly where my allegiance is, and we're going to play a really, really good team. Ben has done a great job. But nobody in that building will want to beat Mississippi State more than I am. I promise you that. So, you know, so we'll have our hands full.
Is that hard? I mean, there's not even a thought, right? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, if I went to Purdue and I came back and played Indiana, I'd want to beat the hell out of Indiana just because. Right? I mean, there's no,
yes.
Like, people that would even question that have no understanding.
No, I don't understand. They ask, well, what side of the fence is your dad on? I said, really?
I said,
you have children? I mean, God almighty. Now, that's not even a close second. And he loves Mississippi State, but that's not even a close second on Saturday. So that's just, I mean, that's just part of it. But it will be. I'll see a lot of friends that I hadn't seen in a long time that have been going to games there for a while.
Your team, though, man, I'll tell you, you talk about buying in. Dan, you got to watch these dudes. Like,
I watched them. I mean, I watched you guys last night. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I hope you turned off the sound and just watched the game.
I did.
I mean, like, you know, you made a great point, Kermit. You know about old school coach. I mean, like, you coach your guys, you coach them hard, yet they are playing for you. How satisfying is it, you know, as a, you know, coach? Like you put together a plan. I sat and watched walkthrough. In fact, in the walkthrough, Terrence Davis was awful. He was awful. Yeah. You came over and said, I love that kid, but man, you know, he was just awful in walkthrough today. And he just lit it up, which once again proves walkthrough sometimes has nothing to do with the real game.
Oh, I know. I hope he's not listening today. I'm telling you, it really is. It's satisfying. I just think that, you know, you've always, I'm sure, Dan, same way. You know, the thinking, you have to be able to coach your best players the hardest. I do think that I've made an adjustment 10 or 12 years ago in my coaching. I thought I was way too negative early on. you know. And I think what happens if you coach hard, you really got to make these guys feel that they are good talents. And I think sometimes I made the mistake way back, coaching them hard, and then kind of telling them they weren't very good players for some reason. You know, that's not a very good combination. So I really changed, and we've tried to tell them that it's not going to be a talent issue. It's going to be how we play. And I think they've bought into that. And I think, you know, one thing we do, next play, next practice, is never any grudges, just next deal. And we spend a lot of time with our guys off the floor, and they really have. They bought in and just been, like I said, you know, early on we coached effort and attitude. We coach no attitude now. You know, we still, every coach got to coach a little effort in practices, but that part of it's been satisfying.
Coach, you've won 9 in a row. You haven't lost in a long time, which makes the season really fun because, as you know better, you know, you wake up and you've lost. It doesn't matter. You're done. It's over. It's horrible. But as you move this forward, so many coaches say, I want to get my system in. You went to Canada, all that kind of stuff. Do you feel like in your first year with the success you've had, do you feel like you're coaching your not final, but this is how you guys are going to play, or is there still some yet to come that puts your total stamp on it, if I'm saying that right?
No, it's a good point. I think in a first-year program, Dan, if we hadn't gone to Canada, we'd be still trying to implement different things, you know. And I know it's a long time from that, but I do think now we've kind of got all of our packages in. Are we great at everything? No. But I do think that we're starting to evolve a little bit. I've got to grow our bench more. We're really kind of 7.5 players at 8, and I really need it in this league. Think about it, you know, Saturday Vanderbilt, and then Wednesday Auburn, Saturday, Tuesday we got LSU. So I got to get our bench long, and that's one thing that I hope that we can do over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
You said something at halftime I thought was really cool, and I forget the exact way you said it. You said it in the post game also about what you say to you guys all the time, that like, kind of, we've earned this, or we've worked for this, or what's that little saying you say?
I just said, guys, we're built for it.
All
the toughest things that we've done. I said our very first time I met with our team, I said, guys, we're going to go through things that are going to hopefully make us successful on the road in this league. And I tell them all the time that these are things that we're hopefully built for because of the things that you guys, how hard you work and pace of practice. And, you know, so hopefully those guys are starting to believe it.
Well, the only thing you got to ask them, Chris, you got to ask them one question.
What's that?
Come on, what? You don't know that?
No, what is it? I mean,
you're the king of football. You got to know the one question you got to ask.
Well, the thing that I was thinking about, Coach,
is are you ready?
Well, how do you – here's the thing
I'll ask the question.
It's a much bigger picture question, and that is, and growing up in the South, in SEC country, you're at a football school. How do you change that mentality? Because you got like Jamie Dixon trying to do it at TCU. You got people all across the country trying to go into a football school to say, I've got to somehow go from a program that has pockets of success to turning this program into one that has success every single year on the basketball court and get people's attentions away entirely from the football field.
You know, number one, I am a huge Southeastern Conference football fan, and I love our football coach here, Matt Luke. And so you're never going to take the place, and I'm not trying to. And, in fact, football is so good. Football is good on our campus. It's great for all of us. And recruiting weekends, there's no better weekends than the Grove and in Oxford when we're playing on an SEC weekend. So, but there are just so many great programs that go together, you know. And, obviously, you know, whether it's Michigan or Oklahoma or different places, I mean, there's great basketball and great football. And so I know our people were starving for kind of some success in the winter. And then, obviously, when basketball's over, they're going to go see Mike Bianco's baseball team at LSU be a top 5, top 10 team in the country. That's what I love, is there's just a ton of sports on this campus that are doing really well.
I'm disappointed that, you know, but the SEC doesn't let the rushing to the court. Because yesterday, as the commissioner of court rushing,
that's a legitimate
that would have been
storming.
Totally
legitimate
that
court storm.
I was begging it on TV. I said, this is totally legal court storm. There's no doubt about it. Forget about all those people wearing those light blue shirts. Get out of the way. Bring them on. Everything's going to be fine. But if you're going to talk to Kermit Davison, we're talking about, you know, Ole Miss. I mean, he does it better than anyone. He actually, at his tip off banquet that I spoke at, he actually set me up to ask this question. Which 800 people he had his tip-off banquet. It was crazy. I mean, he's put his arms around this whole community. So I'm going to give you one more time. We did it on national TV yesterday, now on the podcast. So, Kermit, are you ready, babe?
Hell yeah. Damn right. Hotty, toddy, gosh almighty, who in the hell are we to say flim, flam, bim, bam, Ole Miss, by damn. Seth, you got to learn this thing by now, buddy.
Oh, I got it, babe. I got it.
There'll be a 30 for 30 on abusive language coming up here pretty soon.
Coach, you need to say that in a southern accent, though. To hear these two singing that song in the northern accent, it would sound a little strange.
Hey, Kermit, congratulations. Good luck this weekend, man.
Coach. Thanks for coming on, boss. Thank you.
Buddy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so Coach Davis got a great win against Auburn, but your point, Coach, right off the bat, you got to put that in the rearview mirror because they're going on the road at Mississippi State to take on a really good Bulldog team on Saturday. So let's make some picks, and let's start with that one. Who do you think is going to win that one?
It's an interesting game because the strength of Ole Miss is in a lot of ways the strength of Mississippi State. You're talking about a veteran backcourt, Lamar Peters and a pair of Witherspoons, Quindary and Nick. That place will be rocking, and obviously the game is elevated. It's become a bigger game with Ole Miss having the success in the start. Mississippi State coming off that loss to South Carolina, obviously not a good thing. I'm going to go with Mississippi State on the road in a very, very physical game. I think they got a little bit better depth overall. You know, Kirby Davis was talking about depth, and the bench play of Mississippi State is really good. I think that's going to be a really good basketball game, a close game. But I think at home, yeah, you can hear those bells, you know, those
cowbells,
cowbells ringing and all that stuff. And
it's going to be too
much. I think
much.
It'll be tough for Ole Miss to win that game on the road.
Yeah, they're not winning. Need more cowbell. I like Mississippi State. I will say, man, what a great resurrection for the state of Mississippi. Not only do you have two guys that can coach and get winning teams, but you got two recognizable guys, right? I mean, it's not – and you got, you know, two guys. One has been to the Final Four numerous times. Three times has been Holland. And then the other guy, Kermit, everybody remembers him beating Michigan State and all that. I don't think that Mississippi – maybe next year after, but I don't think they're ready to go in there. Mississippi State's playing too well. Ben's too good a coach. They'll be too tough.
Right. Those two freshmen are really good.
Are they a tournament team, Ole Miss, this year?
Yes, I think they will.
They are, okay.
Man, when I watched last night, I thought they were.
Yeah, it looked like it. Yeah. Duke and Florida State, both tournament teams, but now you know, Florida State's trying to say, we belong in that upper echelon of the ACC.
Don't lose to Virginia by 50.
Okay,
right.
But they've got a chance to rectify that situation at home against the number one team in the country on ESPN Saturday at 2 o'clock. Doc?
I was surprised. I think that the Mississippi State game might be a rock fight, but I'm not sure this one is. Hey, look, until further notice, nobody has been more, well, maybe people have, but I really like Leonard Hamilton. I really like Leonard Hamilton's team. But Seth, to your point, look, I think Virginia's really good, and but I don't think Virginia's athletically where they should be able to come into your place and beat you so badly like they did against Florida State. So until further notice, I'm going to take, you know, unless Savoy loses his mind, I'm going to take Florida State getting beat and Florida State getting beat by double digits. Now, you know, guy makes a shot, Kofor maybe, all that athletic stuff that they have, fine. But, damn, you can't lose by 110.
That was at Virginia.
I'm sorry, it was at Virginia, so maybe I should change it. Yeah, but I'm watching, and it was never a game. Never a game. Ever.
All right, I'm going to go qualify. First of all, this is not your father's Virginia team. They are long and athletic.
Yeah,
and got more
I did
dudes
their
that
games.
Braxton King's gotten a little bit better. Yeah. Yes, go ahead. You can say anything you want.
I've said this. I saw Duke. I saw Kansas when they had Azubuike. I've seen Michigan State. I think athletically, they're a notch below all these teams, Virginia. I've seen Michigan. I think Virginia's a notch. Doesn't mean that it can't beat every team, but I just think they're a notch below. And if you're Florida State.
In the backcourt.
I think other than DeAndre Hunter.
Well, you got Diakite starting now. That gives him more length. And Key comes off the bench. They get a little longer. And
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you're going with Florida State. I mean, you're going with Virginia, mate.
Yes. No, Duke, I'm going Duke.
Yeah, we've talked a lot there.
Jeez.
We'll try it in English.
Are you going with Duke?
Duke.
You are, aren't you?
Here's the deal. What is Duke feast off of?
Turnovers. Going the other way.
What does Florida State not do well?
Take care of the basketball.
So So what does that mean? Transition. So like the teams that are going to beat Duke are going to be teams that don't turn it over, can rebound on the defensive end, and are efficient offensively. So like I said, I think the Virginias, the Michigans, the Michigan States,
North Carolina rebounds the ball very well.
The Tennessees have the best chance. North Carolina, I'm not sure. Now, of course, I think they'll beat them once just because the way that rivalry is.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina doesn't have the consistent play. Until Kobe White learns how to really run a team.
Yep.
And not play at his own pace and hope everyone else comes along with him. I don't see it, but I will have Duke win
this
game.
One, you guys both have Duke Saturday afternoon. This is a very interesting game in the Big 12. TCU and Oklahoma, and it's an Oklahoma team. We talk about it all the time. Addition by subtraction this year, Coach?
Yeah, you know, where's that game being played?
It's at Oklahoma.
At Oklahoma. It's not – look, Trey Young was really phenomenal. You know, and just he was a phenomenon, I guess. But they're back to playing – Lon Kruger basketball. They were 85th in defense efficiency a year ago. They couldn't guard anyone. They couldn't contain the ball. They were bad defensively. All right. Now they're really good defensively. They're not as good offensively, but they have more guys that can play and make plays. Christian James, actually, last year he was a mere shell of himself. He's scoring it. They got those two fifth-year transfers that have been good. Brady Maddock doing his impersonation of Larry Bird with the new look.
Yeah, the great look they have.
I mean, I think at home Oklahoma wins that game.
I like Oklahoma's team. I like Oklahoma's toughness. I like Oklahoma's coach. I think Oklahoma's going to beat TCU. I think this is a much better Oklahoma team in every area except taking bad shots. I thought last year they got very good at taking bad shots.
Ooh.
All right, let's stay in the Big 12. You got Kansas and Baylor. This is the 4 o'clock game on ESPN, and it's a Baylor team that out of nowhere beat an Iowa State team the other night who coming off the win against Kansas. So you thought Iowa State was going to be the pick in the Big 12, maybe the
degrees of separation.
That's right, yes. Yeah. You think maybe that Kansas is going down and Iowa State is finally going to be their year with Shayok and company. Then they go out to Waco and they get beat by Baylor. So now Baylor plays Kansas, Doc. What you got in this one?
I'm going to go with Kansas just because I always go with Kansas, and it seems to me this year teams that are kind of teams can't back up wins. Like they get a big win and then they get beat. And you know the poster child of that was the other night, Seth? New Mexico.
Oh,
New Mexico
God.
Crushes, right?
Yeah.
They crushed Nevada and then couldn't play against UNLV. So I'm going to say Kansas. I think there are some teams that are impervious to good or bad, and I think Kansas is one of them. And until further notice, I'm going to take the other team when a team has a big win.
Now, Coach, you were calling the game last night at Ole Miss, so you didn't see Agbaji, who's this new guy. Yep. He took the red shirt off of Kansas because Azubuike is out.
Athletic. I watched some highlights.
A couple of alley-oops for him. So how does that ease the blow a little bit?
It gives him another athlete. They can still play small and have a guy that can fly around to compliment Lawson. Look, Bill Self's had his way with Baylor. All right, let's put it the way it is. He's had his way with both people, obviously. I think that Kansas is going to win the game. I think that they still have to get more consistency out of their guard play. I don't think Lawson's a guy that can carry you to a Big 12 championship by himself. So they got that young backcourt, Quentin Grimes, Dotson, and those guys are good. But, you know, when you have Azubuike, your head turns every time he's on that left block because you're wondering when it's going into him, and then once he gets it, what are we doing once he gets it? Because you're probably not going to guard a man-to-man. So I think Kansas wins this game, and as I said the other day, Bill Self's great, but I am going with the field.
Okay, but let me ask you this then.
I want you to jump
on this.
Why are you laughing?
I always laugh.
It's a gutless call, though, to be honest.
No, it is.
You're going
gutless?
With the other all nine other teams other than Kansas, right?
It's going to be Texas Tech, Iowa State, and I thought actually TCU could be in that conversation
because
they played without Jalen Fisher the other night.
Right, they did. But let me ask you this question. If Kansas never had Udoka Azubuike this whole year, if you didn't expect him to be on the team,
and you looked
at Kansas versus everybody else in the Big 12,
they're not as good.
They're not as good as everybody else. I think they're still the
not
best
everyone.
Team.
Not everyone.
But I think
they have no front court.
They're still the best team in the league.
They're starting two freshmen.
Who are great freshmen.
Right? And Gerald Vick is better when Azubuike's on the court. Quentin Grimes is better when Azubuike's on the court. I like the kid Garrett. I think that he plays really, really hard. But no, I was shocked Iowa State. Like, I think Iowa State is really good. Like, really good. I think that Texas Tech, like, here's the thing, to win the Big 12, and I said this the other day, you've got to have a home court to match the fog. Texas Tech is developing that. Iowa State has that with a little help magic. I'm not sure as you go through the rest of the league, I'm talking about not when Kansas is coming to town or your rivals coming to town, but each and every night. Who else in the Big 12 has that same environment, Dan? Because that's the only way you can...
15 straight years, or is it 14? I can't remember.
We're going to 15, right?
Yeah, honest to God. I mean, okay. You're not playing against every... Apparently, West Virginia stinks. Apparently, Oklahoma State's not very good.
Kansas State stinks.
Kansas State...
They're not playing well.
And they came back against...
21 down to beat West Virginia.
Because they can't score, and they scored points. I mean, like Kansas State...
Talk about Maylock's moment.
Dean Wade is out, that hurts them. And they just, like that little bit of magic they caught in the bottle, that they can really defend, but they can't score.
My point is, you're not picking the entire league. You're basically saying Kansas is going to beat Texas Tech and Iowa State.
Maybe Oklahoma.
And maybe TCU.
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, look, hey, Chris, welcome to my world. Every time we're on here, he's picking the field, and he acts like he's, and every year he's wrong.
Amazing.
Every year he's wrong.
He's wrong about that every year. It's nine teams versus one, and he's still wrong.
I haven't done it every year. It's been one year, and I was emphatic last year.
He also had Iowa in the Final Four last year.
Iowa, by the way. Hey, your home guys are making
this year,
a comeback.
Iowa was last year's team. But
this year was Kansas State, of course. I always got to have one sleeper. I mean, you actually liked my Kansas State pick back in the day. You did when I originally made it. Sure, it's not bad.
I was in a good mood then. Now?
That's not bad.
Rock fight.
All right, one last game.
No, that's it. That's it. Those are your picks. Yeah, that's it.
All right, that's it.
You pick those four games. We'll see how they play out on Saturday. Should be a fun weekend. Again, everybody's back. Now football's done. And
I got to be with you for 8 hours. How fun can it be?
Oh, yeah. How much fun is that going to be on Saturday? We're going to have a riot. Jay Will going to be with us or no? It's a weekend. He doesn't work on weekends anymore.
You got to get up.
Right. I will be watching the Colts take on the Chiefs while broadcasting Georgia Tech and Syracuse.
Why don't you show a little respect to the Yellow Jackets?
Where's that game being played?
I said that because of you.
Where's that game being played?
Oh, I can't wait. It's in the Qs. We're going to Joey's night before. It's going to be big. Lee Ross coming back home.
Here's my thing now. Yeah. All of a sudden, the Qs playing a little bit better.
Yes.
Your guy to James Dean of coaching.
Truthfully, I love doing games there. I want to give shots to Georgia Tech because Cotter went to Georgia Tech. And when the game is a 40-point game, I'll be yelling, Andrew Luck, throw the ball to the own team.
You got to go to the York. The York downtown's a good spot.
Yeah.
The York.
Yeah, the Yellow Jackets are not ready to win on the road, I don't think. They gave Virginia Tech a tough game the other day at home, but going to the Carrier Dome might be a little bit...
Well, they slowed it down, right?
They did.
That game's going to be a crawl. First to 50.
That game?
62 wins,
that
right?
That game, for About sure, 62? Yeah. They won't be able
What's
to throw
over
it in
on
the
that
ocean.
One?
They won't be able to throw it in the
110?
Ocean. 110? That place.
110.
Combined.
Maybe. All right. Just want to let everybody know, I'm kind of knifing my way into this podcast.
Boy,
and I hope
just...
you guys appreciate it. Or not. I will be with you every week, though, and I'm looking forward to it. If this show is any indication of what's to come between now and second week of April, because the basketball season's extended this year, I'm looking forward to that, guys. So don't forget, you can subscribe to the show wherever you can get your pods. Your podcast, and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Please do that. Hold on.
You almost got yourself arrested.
It's
the world's greatest podcast.
Yeah, rated based on how the podcast is, not because Seth or I said that we didn't like your team's point guard. You understand
what
I'm saying?
That's a good point, yeah.
How entertained
were you? How much did we promote thought within yourself as you were driving around or as you were on the train or the plane or whatever it is?
Right. Based on Seth saying, I don't think you should rush the court. Or I say that your team stinks because, Miles Bridges has no game. Whatever. I'm just saying. Don't rate it on that. Rate it on your entertainment value. And if you do, this is the world's greatest podcast.
Thanks, Doc. Have fun at Syracuse this weekend.
See you guys. Thank you.
See you, brother. See you, everybody.
Go Jackets.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.